True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They're going to keep it conservative for Myers. Walker on the run. He may bust a touchdown. He will. Backbreaker from Kenneth Walker III. And Seattle jumps out by 2 scores.
We were down some bodies going into the game. We absorbed some attrition in game. And many of those guys are new. And so it's a challenge. We certainly are capable of better than that. And so we'll keep working.
15-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19, Peters Township. Thanks for finding us the day after a really disappointing loss for the Steelers, in some respects humiliating to the Seattle Seahawks, including that play we just heard. The Seahawks becoming the first team ever faced with third and goal at the 19-yard line or worse to score a touchdown. They didn't go for the jugular and try to get the ball to the end zone. They ran one of Arthur Smith's favorite plays, a give-up pitch play. And
the Steelers were the team that gave up.
Your defense got mollywhopped on that play.
Good usage. Good usage.
Nick Herbig, Peyton Wilson. They should have painted like they do at crime scenes, their body, like the line around it. On the Acrisure Stadium turf.
They might have run out of chalk at that point.
Looking like temperatures will be in the 70s tonight as the Pirates open up their final homestand of the season at PNC Park. That's Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Okay, so they gave up 24 defensively. There was the touchdown on special teams, that blunder that made it 31, but 24 is still too many.
Pony, they have still, even if you take that off the board, the last two games, 28 points per game.
Yep, and if you look at their last 10 games, it's now 27.9 points per game. I want to get to everybody's calls on this game because I know we have people that are upset in one event. There's been a lot of discussion today about schematics and if it's the players or it's the coaching. Let me give you one thing I saw or didn't see in this game that still has me hacked off. We have intern Jack here producing today. How old are you, Jack?
I'm 19.
I'd say for a 19-year-old, he has consumed...
a 42-year-old?
He's also consumed a lot of NFL football. Okay. He knows his stuff.
He does. He comes in with big takes, and he knows what he's talking about. I would agree with you.
Jack, when you think of Sam Darnold, everything that's happened in Sam Darnold's life in football, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
Probably the season he had last year.
Really? Well, that already blew up in my face.
Why don't you ask me and I'll pretend
Malzi,
that I'm
Jack. What's the number one thing that pops into your head?
Mostly the struggles he's had for almost the entirety of his career, other than last year.
More in line with what I'm looking for.
I was thinking of that
it's okay,
question
Jack.
In a different way. I was kind of thinking of, like, what's the highlight of Sam Darnold's career? Like, yes, when you think of Sam Darnold.
No. This is, when he says, if he asked you a highlight, you can go with that. You just say, yes. Broadly speaking, broad strokes.
I mean, the guy is going to have the seeing ghosts comment follow him wherever
correct.
He goes. until he can show people that he's not someone that gets bamboozled or scared or shook by those pressure-packed moments, but also when defenses decide to throw the kitchen sink at him.
Mm-hmm.
He had in his last three games, the NFC North Championship game to the Lions,
yep.
Then the wild card game in week one, three games, one touchdown. In the last two games of 2024, he looked like he was urinating down his leg again.
He looked like old Sam Darnold.
And Brian Flores, who the Steelers let walk out the door mistakenly, did what he always does. He came up with blitzes. They came from every different location. Darnold didn't know what to do. He was like a computer that is on the fritz where like the processor in it is broken and malfunctioning and steam or smoke starts to come out of it. That's what he looked like in that game. And okay, you're the big bad Steelers. You paid TJ Watt $41 million. You just assume that you can get pressure with four guys. We don't need to do anything creative. We don't need to do anything outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. And you never really adjust or evolve off of that. I would build my game plan for back on playing. What this guy struggles at is if you send a safety or a corner or a nickelback or something like that, it kind of flusters him.
Does not
he looks deer in headlights.
He does not handle pressure in dirty pockets well.
And the Steelers, other than one play I can remember, where Peyton Wilson rushed up the middle, and the running back had to pick up Herbig, and he came straight through.
And clobbered him.
And knocked the daylights out of him. Other than that, there's no moment in this game where Darnold's going back to the sideline thinking, what the hell was that look? What was this curveball they just threw me? And that's how you beat this guy. And they refuse to do it because they're so stubborn. They think their way works.
Mike
and it's
thinks
not.
His way works.
Yes, and it hasn't for a long time. Really, going back, the last time their defense was anywhere close to on top of the world was when they beat the Ravens here last fall. And really, ever since that game, look at their defensive performances since.
Yeah,
they've
gotten
been pathetic.
Cracked. They've gotten cracked. I mean, it came for LeBeau eventually. The Tebow game was the ultimate nadir, and then that was it for him. But if you don't adjust, it comes for everybody. Your scheme never stays that novel. I mean, quickly, I would say the Chiefs offensively have been figured out, at least for the time being, by most of the NFL. Like, you can keep them bottled up. Here's what kills me. The one time they, like, hit him as he threw and hit him hard, it was on the Horton touchdown. Why? Because the guy was 15 yards wide open. And so, kind of like, point one, can you be an NFL quarterback is, can you stand in and if a guy is wide open, throw him the football? But you're supposed to have that guy hitting Sam Darnold where he doesn't know where the ball's going because there's nobody that looks open. Instead, there's Jalen Ramsey trailing a rookie by half of a football field, it looks like.
How do you spend almost $160 million on a defense, almost $20 million on a head coach, and people rightfully are looking at them right now and saying, they don't have any good defensive linemen? I get it, Harmon's injured, but we haven't actually seen him play a real game yet. Hayward has not lived up to the contract. He did knock that ball up in the air, and
that
went
for a
turnover.
If they win the game yesterday, Hayward's play there is a much more...
It's a big one.
Yeah, it's a much more fondly viewed play, but by and large, he hasn't been Cam Hayward.
But when you allow 10 plus... They allowed 10 runs of over 10 yards.
Oh, they got
gashed. How is that possible?
They got gashed, and when you had to know that the Seahawks were going to still, I think, with a 17-14... Well, once it got to 24-14, I should say... You had to know that they weren't necessarily, because McDonald is still a guy who came up on the defensive side, and I still think there's some of that in him. They weren't going to try to go completely crazy running up the score on you. But in the second half of that football game and in the fourth quarter, when they needed to make plays, when they needed to run the ball, when they needed to just get this or that from the Steelers, they got it, man.
Yeah,
and they it wasn't like Kenneth Walker was making Barry Sanders runs. There were holes everywhere.
Well, he took advantage of that zone scheme that Hayward was so scared of during the week, whereas Charbonnet just kind of runs right at you, and they actually did a good job on him. Anytime Charbonnet was in instead of Walker, I thought the Steelers could hold them below five yards.
And when he wasn't, I
was like, oh, here comes another possible touchdown on this play.
The good thing is that Kenneth Walker is they're the only team in the league that runs zone blocking, and Kenneth Walker's the only NFL running back who can see a hole materialize before it does and cut to it. That actually might seem like the truth if you've watched Najee Harris for the past several years or watched Caleb Johnson's two unbelievably unimpressive carries in his NFL career thus far.
Yep.
But in fact, the NFL is comprised of running backs who make a living out of seeing a hole right before it develops and then beating you to the spot.
All right, let's get to our listener, starting with one of our favorites, Noah Duquesne. Hello, Noah.
How you doing, friends?
Hey, man.
All right, well, we can talk about schematics. We can go through all of the stupid crap that Tomlin throws at you. You know, this is my problem. We just mentioned that TJ Watt makes $41 million a year, right?
Yep.
Why is he not playing in a game where Alex Highsmith is hurt? I swear I'm seeing Jack Sawyer in the game more often. That's the biggest schematic issue to me. This would be like if Andrew Filippone and Chris Muller received the biggest raises in 93.7 history, then the whole office gets COVID, and intern Jack is the only man that steps up and plays and is the only guy doing his job. It doesn't make any sense to me. That's my biggest schematic issue. And that has the audacity to go up there on the stage and say schematically we're doing A-OK. It doesn't make any sense to me, guys.
But he's always been that. He's always a guy that will take plays off because he goes max effort and needs a blow and doesn't want to have reps where he's out there at like 65% or 70%.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's more tolerable, and you can stomach that when the reps he's on the field for actually back that up because he's routinely getting home and disrupting games and stripping the ball. I think he was charted with two formal quarterback hurries yesterday. I think that was it. He's gone six regular season games without a sack.
Here's the stat on that backs up what Noah's saying. Herbig played more than Watt.
Yep, he played a snap more.
How is that possible?
I saw that this morning.
The plan was for Herbig to be
a
situational player. Highsmith gets hurt 10 defensive plays in, and then when it's all said and done, Herbig was out there more than Watt? That's a head-scratcher, man. Like, I don't think it boils down to just that. Watt sits on the sideline too much, but it's a novel point that I haven't heard anybody else bring up. Here's Emmanuel in Carnegie. Hello, E.
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, this was a tough one, man, but to be honest, I kind of saw it coming from last week's performance. Our defense has not been playing well in the last, seven games or so. My only hope is maybe our young draft picks can step up a little bit when they come back. You know, Harmon and Highsmith, hopefully they come back because we're not going anywhere unless we're top 10 defense. Last year we finished 12th overall in yards.
Unless Derek Harmon comes back, Emmanuel, and is Warren Sapp, Aaron Donald, Chris Jones, and Reggie White rolled into one football player, I'm not so sure that it's going to make a massive difference if the rest of these guys look the way they do.
I also think that Highsmith is turning out to be a bad contract and a poor investment. And I thought so at the time, and I like Alex personally, but I didn't think it ever made sense. Same logic I had with Bud Dupree. Why pay Robin so much money? Why pay the second guy so much?
One of the arguments was he's remarkably stout against the run. One, when he's been out there, they've gotten gashed this year. Two, if he's not out there, then who cares if he's stout against the run if he's dinged
exactly.
up?
Exactly. It's more a commentary on the fact that he can't stay healthy now. He doesn't play enough for the amount of money that he makes.
It's feeling just watching their defense and watching how old some of these guys look all at once and realizing how much they have committed themselves to the idea that those kinds of players can have at least one or two more really high-level years is unsettling. It really is.
We've got some more tremendous listeners who are ready in the on-deck circle to call in next. 412-928-9370 if you want to join the fray. That is also the text line brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, an injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We also have breaking Steelers news to tell you about next. You're going to want to hear. But first, an intern Jack headline.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is it a scheme thing, or is it people not being in the right position, communication? Can you put your finger on where the breakdowns are?
Oh, that's what I want.
Game plan-wise, was there a specific that you thought you guys had a good spot that you had ironed out that just didn't manifest today?
Okay, oh, that's what I want. I'm sorry.
Patrick Queen, sometimes you say a lot by saying very little. Did not want to answer questions about the schemes and game plans of the Steelers defense. How about that?
As a companion to that, just connecting all that together, Tomlin in the immediate aftermath of the game, I don't necessarily expect him to give expansive answers, emotions, etc. He just never does, too, so he primes the pump for you not to expect it. Him saying attrition on defense made it so that they had a harder time communicating and lessened their ability to do certain things. Just is such an eye-opening but frustrating commentary too. So when Patrick Queen gets hurt, let's say, or when Wilson gets hurt, but especially Queen, they just go to crap and they can't call anything and they can't get everybody lined up right. That does not speak well of you or your defensive coordinator if one injury might completely topple the whole thing.
To me, it would be like if Capital Grill or Morton's or somebody like that said, hey, we lost our dishwasher and our second maitre d', so we can't serve you a quality steak anymore. You've got a $160 million defense. You lose a couple of guys, it shouldn't be the end of the friggin' world, especially when you're the supposed genius who's calling the shots for it. You know what it would be like? If the 49ers went out there yesterday and scored 3 points and Kyle Shanahan just threw his hands up in the air and said, well, what did you expect? We didn't have Brock Purdy or George Kittle. Instead, man-boob Mac Jones goes out there and looks like friggin' Roethlisberger against the Saints.
Well, if Kyle Shanahan had, by the way, said that, it would actually be more viable because quarterback is so much more important and generally not as easily replaced.
Here is the...
By the way, the analog here is that Shanahan's scheme is somewhat quarterback-proof in a way. Isn't Mike's scheme supposed to be so good, plug him in, and they're going to all play great?
With the way he is regarded around the league as some kind of defensive savant,
his own
yes.
players think so. It's like building the Death Star, and then that stupid little thermal exhaust port is how the whole thing blows up.
The breaking news is that J.J. McCarthy has an ankle injury. He's going to miss Sunday's game. Ironically, it's against the Bengals, so it's going to be Jake Browning versus Carson Wentz. The Steelers are going to see Minnesota the following week. That means it's likely they'll get Carson Wentz in Dublin, and they also are going to get two games of Jake Browning or whoever the Bengals find to replace Joe Burrow at quarterback.
Kirk Cousins to the Bengals.
So that's three games the Steelers should win. That's the good news. The bad news is those backup quarterbacks get to play against the Steelers' defense. And so I would expect them to look like...
What does it say to you...
Fran Tarkenton and Ken Anderson in those games.
What does it say to you, or what does it say about the situation, that the only reason I think they should beat Wentz is because Wentz himself is a bonehead who's prone to making like hero ball attempts at plays that tend to get him in trouble anymore. And that otherwise, if he could just inhibit his ability or his propensity to do that, I think he might walk them up and down the field on the Steelers.
412-928-9370. Promise more of your calls. Let's take more of your calls. Here's Lou in Staten Island. Hello, Lou. Oh, I got Lou on the wrong line. Hold on, Lou. That's me. Don't go anywhere. All right, there he is. Hello, Lou.
Oh, hey, guys. How are you?
We're good.
We had some bad communication there, Lou, just like the Steelers defense, buddy.
Oh, my gosh. It's just the same old SOS, you know, and I rolled off some things here. Hear me out. 400 yards of offense again. Another 30 points. Six of the seven last games we've lost. Keeps getting worse, though. Hold on. Did you guys see at MetLife yesterday, the Jets, that great offense that they had, went up and down the field on us? 154 yards of total offense, and the Bills did not have their best player, Ed Oliver. Explain that one to me.
And their big edge rusher punched the ball out from Justin Fields and then physically knocked them out of the game, and our big edge rusher didn't have a sack and hasn't had one in six games.
Yes. Seattle was one of three teams last year to not score an opening drive touchdown. What did they do yesterday?
Longest drought in the NFL. They marched touchdown. Down the field like it was the 4th of July parade in Cannonsburg.
It's just so sick. And wide open guys giving up third and longs. But hear me out for a second. This is how bad it's actually gotten, guys. And this is just my opinion. Tell me if you agree or disagree. The Steelers defense is built on putting teams in third and long and then sending rushes to get sacks and turnovers and things like that. It was so bad yesterday that we gave up six or seven third and eight or longers against Seattle, that vaunted offense, never getting any pressure except the one play by Cam Hayward, and actually we got the turnover. And you know, when you have players like these guys, I wrote down just four or five names, but these are the guys that stick out to me, and it's been going on for a while. Peyton Wilson, Patrick Queen, Broderick Jones, Keanu Benton, Calvin Austin. These are average to below average players playing significant roles for our team. And then when you mix that in with an average to below average head coach who refuses to make changes or refuses to have the ability to change on the fly, and then you add in the injuries, there you go. But if you played, let's just say, think about it this way. If you played the Ravens next week or you played the Eagles next week, how many yards rushing would they get against us? 300?
Well, it was 299 the last time it was Baltimore, so I don't see why they couldn't do something like that again based on the state of the defense. The young players point I like. Those are supposed to be ascending guys who are in year two. In Queen's case, he was in his mid-20s when he came over. All guys that are supposed to be, as Tomlin likes to say, arrow pointed up. And they're like stagnant guys or worse.
Benton's just a guy right now.
Oh my God, does he look bad.
Less than just a guy.
The new thing is, well, he's playing out of position. I'm sorry. I think a left tackle would put him on his ass too. Centers are probably giving up weight and size to him. They're freaking knocking him over like he's a damn bowling pin. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, Queen's been horribly disappointing. How about Peyton Wilson? I'm not trying to make light of this, but he was out for some time in that game because of heat-related fatigue.
Yep.
He played ball at North Carolina State. Are you telling me it doesn't get hot there for early season games?
I thought when Holcomb was in there, the defense played better. I'm just going to say it. And I know they had high hopes for him. I mean, they were making it sound like Peyton Wilson was going to be in like all pro
I think they found like the next Fred Warner type of player if he could stay healthy. I also just like to envision Lou with a yellow legal pad jotting down names. Yes. Boys, I've got all
and
this
saying,
stuff.
Hear me out. Lou, we always hear you out, brother, unless you swear or curse or do something like that.
Lou kind of has like a Columbo vibe to him where he's like, just one more thing. If you let me go here.
Here is Fake John and Robinson, who's been a longtime defender of Mike Tomlin and Deontay Johnson. Hello, Fake John.
Yeah, and expect more of the same here. I mean, my biggest takeaway from week one was that the only thing accomplished was a lower draft pick going into next year.
What was your season prediction that you forgot to actually register formally on the air because you know we would have let you do it if you wanted to?
5-12, and I'm feeling pretty good about that. I mean, anybody who looked at this team, anybody who looked at this team as a contender isn't looking at it objectively. It's, you know, black and gold visor, black and gold blinders, whatever you want to call it. You don't just pay.
Why are you calling me out by name when you say that? I didn't say that about
this
team.
No, you guys were actually closely aligned on it.
You did. Yeah, but you, at the end of last week, you equivocated a little bit and said if they win this game, I have to start looking at them as a Super Bowl favorite. But
well, that was because we had Fox cameras in here, so that was actually a put-on.
Okay. All right. Well, that's
and
that's
it all fair, went but, for naught because they scrubbed our package from their preview.
Yeah, they didn't need it. They said they needed Terry Bradshaw throwing balls to, like, six-year-olds, but that's okay.
I think the simple thesis here is you don't put together overpaid aging vets with a bad coaching staff and expect for that to actually compete. You brought up the 49ers as the perfect example. Now the coaching staff is just coming up with excuses. Well, injuries, this and that. The only chance that this fan base should understand this now is for this team to lose a crap load of games this year. And that's the only thing. We know Tomlin's not going to go anywhere. The only chance is that a guy comes in that is Tomlin proof and has the opportunity to, you know, bring this team back. But short of that, you know, Tomlin's been the DC here for 7 years longer than Dick LeBeau was, and the league caught up to Dick LeBeau. You think they're not going to catch up to Mike Tomlin? They already have him. They passed him up, and they love game planning for him.
Yeah, I think they made a huge blunder in letting Flores go, and Art Rooney should have had some balls and stepped in and said, this is going to be the guy that
Mike,
calls
you were smart
the
enough to
for
bring
the defense.
Him in and give him a lifeline, and now he's taking your responsibilities. I mean, you're coaching the game situation.
I don't see a 5-12 team. I still don't. I don't think it'll ever, unless there's like cataclysmic injuries, sink to that level. But I don't see a good team. And when you've given up almost 30 points on average for 10 games in a row, your offense needs to be spectacular to overcome
and
that.
And they're not good enough. They're not close to good enough.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Malzy with some massive takes off the air. Listen to Pop and Joe Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon on the 93.7 The Fan .com contesting page. The Fan is going to showcase some youth football teams. Maybe Mike Tomlin could go out there and get some pointers. Special visit from members of our staff, too, like Carrie Callis, who was doing explosive interviews with players after games this weekend.
I thought those were good. Did
asking
you watch
hard-hitting
those?
Questions, I did.
Callis might be the guy the Steelers need to start stopping the run.
Plug up the middle, baby.
Put him in at nose tackle. He's taking up a guard in the center.
Low man.
Yep. Oh, hell yeah.
Do you want the Fan to visit your game? Email youthsports at 937thefan.com. Group name, your group's name, main contact, potential dates, 937thefan.com. Brought to you by Steel City Shredding, Saloni's Italian, Bread and Pelman Electric. All right, Donnie, let's get to your game balls for Steelers-Seahawks. Just so people know, it's not exclusively Steelers. Seahawks players are allowed to get game balls, too. I do think one Steeler should make the cut. Let's see if you gave him a game ball.
Is that player Jaylen Warren?
Maybe. Game ball number three belongs to?
I'm not giving it to Jaylen Warren, although oh, okay. I thought he was the only offensive player they had that I think would have been worthy. I actually went Byron Murphy the second as the third one. The front four had a lot of fun for Seattle. I thought he was the ringleader in that. Got after the quarterback a couple of times. Had a tackle for loss. So he felt like he led the disruption. But that front four, I don't want to say that they had their way all game with the Steelers' offensive line, but it was very much slanted in one direction.
It's disturbing that they've played two games here against two, I would say, at best average teams. And they've gotten buried up front in both games. On both sides of the ball, I would say.
And
Jets beat them up in the trenches, and so did Seattle.
I mean, as much as football evolves, unless you really have a cheat code at quarterback, it is still about trench play, and they've gotten crushed both ways.
And, getting pressure without having to blitz will always be the antidote to any quarterback, no matter how mobile.
And no excuse at all. I don't care that Isaiah Loudermilk got hurt during the game and you did not have Derek Harmon available. The Seahawks' offensive line is patchwork at best. The right tackle got destroyed by Nick Bosa last week. They're playing a rookie guard. They were one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL last year. They could not run the ball against San Francisco, and they shoved it up your rear end.
I mean, it's 2 weeks in a row that we have seen makeshift offensive lines.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just call it what it is. And, like, I'm sure Mike Tomlin knows this and just doesn't want to admit it. They're just getting physically manhandled. Like, your scheme is, to some extent, only as good as your ability to win basic, like, shed block battles. Just man-on-man battles. And they're not even capable of winning, like, semi-regularly. It feels like an accident when one of their guys gets through.
I feel like it might have been our buddy Nate that tweeted this. Somebody tweeted us this not too long ago. I know the guy didn't play a ton of snaps. It actually felt like Daniel Equale, of all people, had one of the better games of any of their.
Yeah, you saw him briefly burst into Seattle's backfield when they didn't want him to be there. Otherwise, you might as well put a velvet
Cam,
rope.
Cam had the one play.
Yeah, he had a tip. And if they win the game, it's going to be a much more favorably viewed play. Put a velvet rope around every other quarterback that they face, because no one's allowed in if they're wearing black and gold.
Game ball number two, Don.
Jackson Smith and Jigba. Didn't have a touchdown, but yet again, he was their go-to guy in a tough situation. Cooper Kupp, I took him into consideration.
He looked like he found the fountain of youth all at once.
Yeah, I mean, we joked about him last week looking ancient and ready for Elmers, and now here he is yesterday beating Jalen Ramsey like a drum almost every single rep.
He was the biggest play on that respect.
Seattle avoids disaster on third down. Now play action. Shot downfield. Smith and Jigba's got it against Ramsey. Down to the 10-yard line, and a beautiful touch throw by Darnold.
So, yeah, he officially had 8 for 103. He had that big one that just really felt like a dagger. I mean, that play was a dagger. The Steelers could have gotten a stop, could have gotten off the field, could have driven down and tied the game, and that did it.
That's the one thing about Darnold. I don't think any of us thinks that this is some great quarterback, but if you let him stand in there and he can step into a throw, he absolutely has a big-time arm, and that was a good throw.
Here's the thing that's frustrating to me about it. I would say the Steelers and Seahawks, this is one of the few games where I would say the Steelers have better pass catchers than the other team. Seattle has JSN, and then there was a huge drop-off. No receiver had more than 15 yards last week for them. Kupp has a big game. Horton, a rookie, a fifth-round pick, catches a touchdown pass. Their tight ends were involved. The rookie Arroyo, Barner, these guys were making plays. And in addition to JSN,
they
double-teamed our receiver. DK, he did nothing. And then our supporting cast couldn't do crap.
How
is it their supporting cast makes all these plays and ours can't make
any?
And
they had multiple defensive backs out. Let's keep that in mind, including their best one.
They were getting chunks. 17, 19, 21, 24. That one you just heard, 43. When Darnold was standing in against pressure, or when he had a clean pocket, by and large, he was getting what he wanted against
them. 2 weeks in a row, Tomlin didn't respect the other team's quarterback, and he made him pay. Game ball number one?
Kenneth Walker. He went from having 2 yards a carry last week against San Francisco, 10 for 20. He looked awful in week one. He averaged over 8 yards a pop yesterday, 13 for 105, and he truly did have the dagger of the touchdown when they were just pretty much positioning themselves to kick a field goal
and
put the game away. He said, nope, I'll just take 6 instead of 3.
Here is TJ Watt on stopping the run.
I don't know, man. We're going to have to look at it and break it down. Clearly, it's the same issues are rearing their head from last week. And in the NFL, you don't have time to go back after each and every game and make the adjustments. You need to make the adjustments before they happen and if they happen in game, before they're allowed to continue to snowball like they did today and like they did last week. So, back to the drawing board. I'm sure there's many, a multitude of different reasons why this is happening. But we're way too talented. We have way too good of schemes to allow this to continue to happen week after week.
So there you have it. The Seahawks rain on Aaron Rodgers' parade. A clean sweep for them in Donnie's balls. Has that ever happened before?
Yeah, we've had a few. All right, I've got the trackers. We've had a few, you know, all three balls go to the other guys.
Did that happen in the Baltimore playoff game last year?
It had to have. I don't know why you didn't give Caleb Johnson a game ball specifically as a de facto Seahawks player. I think that would have been a nice touch.
They present him with the ball after the game.
Like Darnold and Mike McDonald.
A key to the city of Seattle.
Mike McDonald barges into the locker room. No one knows why he's there. He hands Caleb Johnson a game ball and jogs out.
That was Donnie's game balls.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.